Welcome back to Right Side. I'm Amy Beth Shaver with Allison Sinclair and JP. So we will read a couple texts that are hilarious. We're going to play the Frank Turek clip. And then in the 4:30 segment, we will talk about what Frank has to say. Allison, can you read it?
I'm scared to open that top one.
Oh, no, it's a good one. I can read it for you if you want. John from Miner, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Allison is the smartest person I've ever heard speak. Just saying, y'all. Hilarious as well.
John, I will send you your money through Venmo later. And I hope great. That Dale Jackson is listening and all the people. All the things.
All the things, yes.
Because
all the things.
That may never be said again, but I do appreciate that. Really. Especially after Giggle Fest yesterday.
It's fine. It's who we are.
We've gotten lots of pizza texts, which
fault.
Are just, I don't, cheeseburger pizza, double Domino's cheeseburger. Ugh.
I'm going to have to try this. This is in Limestone. Okay.
This is where we are today. So I'm reading about pizza, and then the next one says, pretty sure gay men. I don't even know how to put all this together, but I guess it's symbolic of our show.
It is symbolic of our show. We get somewhere. It just takes us a minute. Somebody asked about the book I'm referencing, and it's The Naked Communist. And the byline is exposing communism and restoring freedom. And it's by W. Cleon, C-L-E-O-N, Skousen, S-K-O-U-S-E-N. Pretty sure I got this off of Thrift Books, but you can find it. The Naked Communist, one of the best books I've ever read.
The Naked Communist.
Naked.
Naked.
Naked Communist.
Naked. Is naked commie. Actually a word?
Naked is N-E-K-K-E-D.
Naked. K-K?
Yeah, K-K-E-D.
I don't.
Naked.
I thought it was N-E-C-K-E-D.
Yeah.
It's whatever you want it to be, Allison. It's common core spelling.
Is this why Josh from Hayden says, always a pleasure listening to the best radio show in the universe? Because yes. We cover naked and pizza.
And communism.
All in the same show.
All right, JP. Do you mind playing?
Which one is this?
Frank Turek.
Sure. Yeah. Let me get it ready.
That'd be great. Now, remember, this is a guy that was with Charlie Kirk when Charlie Kirk was assassinated.
Wasn't he his pastor?
He was his mentor.
Yeah.
And if you want a good listen, listen to Frank Turek. That is a smart man. Very wise. Anyway, here's Frank.
You haven't heard this because you're not paying attention. I'm sorry. It's over. We've got to pay attention.
Politics is not our most important duty, but it helps us do our most important duty. And so what I say to people who think, oh, we don't have to be involved politically, you're naive if you think that. But we all need to be engaged to protect religious freedom and to love our neighbors. Because if we have the capacity to protect innocent people from evil by putting good laws in place that do protect them from evil, and we don't take that opportunity, how are we loving our neighbors? We're not. If we don't get involved, godless people will get involved, and then we'll have laws like they have in California now. Have you heard about the Bill 495? Anybody in California can walk into a school without identification and check a kid out. Yo, you haven't heard this. Because you're not paying attention. I'm sorry. It's over. We've got to pay attention. I'm not angry with you, ma'am. I'm angry with Christians out there who say the stupidest things while a trafficker can walk into a public school in California and take that kid away and you'll never see that kid again. And you know why they did this? Because Gavin Gruesome Newsom and his minions decided that he needed to prevent kids that might be illegal from being taken by ICE during the school day. But what he wound up doing was making every single kid vulnerable to trafficking. Oh, we don't need to be involved. Yes, say that when your kid is kidnapped, abused, and murdered. When are we going to wake up?
So that is the question. Now, we're all wide awake. We're here together in our tribe, wide awake. And that is disturbing and it is alarming. But the idea, the reason why Allison and I are here is because we were told we shouldn't be involved in politics and we should just let other people handle it. We were told to love our neighbor and wear a mask and get a jab and be subservient and obedient because of our governing authorities. But the problem is, Ephesians tells us that we have the right to come against things that come against Christ, to take every thought captive. It's Ephesians 5. We have every right, and so we will, because that is not an excuse to let other people handle it. We have to handle it. We were placed in our communities to do what we're doing so that we can love our neighbors, point them to the truth, and protect what we hold dear. So on the other side, we'll chew on all this. So don't go anywhere.
Me?
Yeah.
Line?
Line, please.
We'll be right back.
Hey, my friends, Phil Williams here. You've heard me talk about Inspire Advisors, how Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors will help you grow your investment portfolio while also screening out the companies that don't stand for conservative Christian principles. Look, they are experts in what is known as biblically responsible investing, and they are now offering a limited opportunity for a free class on that BRI. Check out the class, register for free, their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. It's godly, it's conservative, it's financial freedom, y'all, with Inspire Advisors at www.moneypatternwealth.com. Check them out. Tell them you heard about on a Right Side Radio.
Welcome back to Right Side. I'm Amy Beth.
Funny?
It's funny.
I was trying to process what you said.
What did you say?
What did you say?
I don't know why I said it right as you were about to point, but I get to go to Kobe tonight.
Oh, that's what I thought. Ooh, you said.
Yum.
That's why I was confused. Oh, Kobe,
really?
The restaurant.
Yeah.
Not the basketball player.
Since we're talking about pizza, and then I got hungry, and I just thought, it's so expensive.
It's
so we only
expensive.
Go on birthdays.
Yes, same. Same,
but
when you said Kobe, I thought the basketball player, and I was like,
confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense now.
Rip.
Rip.
Oh, man, he was good. So, JP.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please explain what Gavin Newsom was trying to do in California on October 12th when he signed this into law?
I mean, my gauge on it from listening was that to allow anyone, even if they're not on the checkout list or whatever, the checkout person at that school, allowing anybody to come and pick them up gives them a more of an opportunity for like friends or aunts, uncles, grandparents. If the parent is tied up or something, that I guess his line of thinking was he opens it up to a lot more people that can get the kid out of there before ICE comes. That was my gauge on it. And I know Allison said, I can't remember if it was on air or during the break, about would that allow ICE agents to come. Even though it's a sanctuary state, so I would assume that
ICE agents can't check them out.
Yeah, and I would assume they see the ICE on and they would just like lock the doors and everything. But I think that's what Gavin Newsom was trying to do, was allow more than just the parent. If the parent can get there, you know, friends, you know, uncles, aunts, whoever can come and get the kid anyways. Mm-hmm. But opens the door to the awful trafficking world that obviously Newsom is either too dumb to realize or just doesn't care.
Probably both.
And at this point, with the numbers that we have of lost children, there can be no denial of what was happening. And with separation and the horrors of where children were placed, or numbers that they called that were their safe numbers. I don't know if you saw the people on Laura Ingraham earlier this week talking about the sex trafficking that these young children have endured. So it opens a door to so many things. He was trying to get out front of it and be too smart by half. And the problem is he made it worse. But Frank Turk's point was, this is what's happening right under our noses. And lest we think things don't happen in Alabama, oh, most certainly they do. I mean, one of the reasons that you're involved and you started local was to make people aware of not just voter fraud and voter integrity, but also it had a lot to do with schools, which migrated into libraries, which, guys, I'm not sure if you're aware or not, but we still don't have an obscenity protection bill passed for our children. So you can do whatever you want. As I learned from Allison last year, you can do whatever you want in a library in front of a child.
It's the most bizarre thing that we protect children and we have obscenity laws. Like, you can't take a child to an NC-17, an R-rated movie. You can't take a child to a strip club. You can't take a child into an adult bookstore, whatever it is. But if you're in a library, you can expose a child to whatever you want. It is the weirdest thing. And our state representative, well, we moved, but Arnold Mooney, who's a friend of ours, has tried to get this bill passed, which is the obscenity law. It just applies the same laws that applied everywhere else to libraries, and it cannot pass the Alabama House.
I wonder why that is. Like, I'm trying to find the, because normally with stuff like that, where conservatives in Alabama don't vote or act like conservatives, you can kind of connect the dots of, okay, some special interest is probably telling them not to. But with that one, that's just kind of like, I don't know, like, who? Why wouldn't that be passed in a Republican supermajority?
I think I can answer that, and the bills run together. If I'm correct, it was the district attorneys from each county that in the bill they would have to handle the charges that were brought against the librarians if they continued. And it was this whole thing of where, okay, we'll notify you and you have a week, you have 2 weeks to get the book out. Like, it's not, and then it escalated. But at the end, the district attorneys would have to handle the issue. And the district attorneys fought back and didn't want to do that. It was like adding to their job.
Their job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were supposed to.
So that's the pressure.
Or is it just one of those, we'll let the Dems have that one sort of things too?
Why would you do that? Of all things. I mean, give it to adults. Don't put the children in the gap. It's unheard of. It's unprecedented. And in Alabama, I mean, again, I go back to the What is a Woman bill that took us 4 years to pass. That's just stupid. And it doesn't represent what I thought we were as a legislature, or at least what they claim to be. But I was thinking, as y'all were talking about California, do y'all remember a few years ago that California was one of the first ones? There were signs all around, especially in San Francisco, talking about how minor attracted people are normal. They're people too.
Yes.
It all goes together and it is terrifying. But California needs a swift kick in the fanny. And I don't really think that went anywhere in terms of like protection or civil rights protection or whatever from the government. But all this is just trying to normalize. And I don't think Frank Turek is wrong to think that this leaves a lot of kids vulnerable, because who are the most common perpetrators? They're people you know. They're family members. They're people you know that are in and out of your house, that if they came to school, they're not like an ICE agent. You're not going to kick and scream and yell stranger danger. You probably say, oh, okay. And then they're gone. Mm. What a biscuit.
Yeah, that's very troubling. But you know what did come up, and I don't know if it's NATO or the UN or the World Health Organization. One of them, do you remember last year around the same time we talked about, or maybe it's longer ago than that, that they did a whole thing about minor attracted persons and they removed the age restriction? Do you remember?
I don't, but that doesn't surprise me.
They
removed the age restriction for... Oh, I do remember that.
The age of consent.
I do remember that.
So are we seeing pedophiles at work? Or are we also seeing the influence of Islam?
I think that's an interesting twist on it. But I think they're trying their best to get rid of the stigma. Don't use the word pedophile. It's minor attracted person. They can't help
it's
it.
Ridiculous.
They can't help it.
Love is love.
Love is love. Yeah, exactly. They can't help the fact they're attracted to minors. Pedophile. Don't use that harsh word. You know, they're trying to desensitize or get rid of the stigma around pedophiles. And I do think the Islam aspect of it too is an interesting nugget. If there's certain areas of America where, like New York or Texas or Dearborn, that it's getting a flood of them, where I hate to say it, but their prophet literally married a 9-year-old, maybe even younger. I think it was 9. Yeah, I mean, that may be Islam trying to sneak its way in. And that brings us back to the original point of why it's important that Christians get engaged politically. Because if you sit back and go, oh, well, that's a little dangerous. That's scary. That's not very Christian. Like, this is how, because somebody's going to win. Who would you rather be? the minor attractive people in Islam or the Christians that really built America.
Yeah, there's no neutral ground. That ship has sailed. There never was. There's never been a neutral ground. And so we do have to make a choice. And even now, when people say, well, the media is just trying to get you to be outraged, I don't know how we qualify in that whole situation, but we are trying to help each other stay awake and alert, not stay woke, but alert and wide awake as to what's going on around us. And it is our job to be involved and to help see that changes happen. And we can't do it from the comfort of our couch. We cannot. That ship has sailed.
I think all the time when, and we've had so many pastors in the Birmingham area in Alabama tell us that we, like you said, we're wrong for being involved in politics. But I think, okay, well, what if Moses hadn't gone and lobbied Pharaoh?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what if
Daniel?
Daniel, or I was trying to think of a woman, you know, because a lot of times we get criticized for being women in politics. There are places in the Bible where God uses women to lobby on behalf of governments. I mean, who was it? Pontius Pilate, you know, his wife was like, Jesus hasn't done anything wrong. You need to wash your hands of him. And he listened. I mean, and that shaped the whole narrative of Jesus's death.
Who found the empty tomb?
I mean, there are times
Esther.
Where, there you go. I mean, and so I think we are all called to different degrees to be involved in, oh yeah, Jenkins just said Esther. Did you read that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, y'all are on the same wavelength. But Deborah, you know, and most of the time, speaking of toxic masculinity and all that, it goes back to God uses women when the men fail to stand up and do the right thing and speak the truth. I mean, we play a part, but historically it is the men that are supposed to be leading this charge, unless you agree with AOC, and then you're just supposed to be serving us women soy lattes and wearing your scarf and your skinny jeans while you do it.
Mm. Yeah, I don't want that.
No.
Nobody wants that.
No.
But together we can impact culture. And one of the most important places we can do that from is from the church. And we're blessed. I am very blessed to be in a church that tells the truth and asks the hard questions like, are you prepared to be hurt? But understand that God does his work through the church and through his people. And he tells us how to do it through his word. So we're not left defenseless, but we do need to be careful that the church we're in isn't filled with redwashed ideology, critical justice, asking questions that, what are you even saying? Telling you to sell everything you have and just ignore the world at hand. Yes, we get to preach the good news, obviously, but we also have to understand that our foundation is the church and it is his word, and operate from that. That's our foundation.
I know we got to go to break, but there was one church, and I obviously won't say who the pastor was or what the church was, but it was one pretty recently that I was visiting and checking out, and the pastor said it was actually right before the election, and he said, "We don't tell you how to vote; we just tell you to vote." And I heard that, and I was, "Exit, please. Where do I go?" I was like, "That
Let
is
me run.
What in the world is that?" I don't know, but that's just completely the wrong message, I think. It's not wrong to say, I don't know, there's one party pushing abortion and gay marriage and everything against the Bible, and then there's the other party that's fighting for Christian values. I think it's actually imperative for them to say which side to vote for. That's just me, though. I don't know.
And to really bring this full circle, it goes back to the naked communist, where, I mean, and we read where they say infiltrate the schools, make art disgusting, normalize homosexuality, make the uniparty. I mean, it is all coming to fruition, and it's all under that communist umbrella, which the ultimate goal is to get religion out of everyone's home. Because if you have hope in Christ, you don't put your hope in the government. That's what they want.
Mm.
And on that note.
On that note, we got to go to break and then it's over. Like, today's done.
I know.
That's crazy. Do you have exit questions?
I got 250 of them.
And we've got some texts. We'll be right back.